Blog Talk Radio.
How we pray so much?
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, warning. The show can be contagious.
Got a live one for you tonight. We're going to go on the air right now. Thank you all so very much for joining us. We are so glad that you're here. This is going to be a deep one tonight, you all, and I certainly hope and trust that you all will stay with us tonight. We're just waiting for some of our co-hosts to go ahead and press one on their dials, and we will get started. If you want to queue in, if you want to get into the queue, by all means, please, please press one on your dial. Let's go ahead and welcome Darren Deedy to tonight's broadcast. Darren Deedy, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Okay, perhaps Darren Deedy is not there. Let's go ahead and welcome. Yes, you are. There you are. Darren Deedy, thank you for joining us. We had you muted over here. Thank you for joining us, Darren Deedy.
I think I muted myself. I'm sorry about that. Thank you for having me again tonight. I'm looking forward to a second night.
Excellent, excellent. All right, let's go ahead and welcome someone who is always missed on the air when she's not here, all the way from the Peachy State, the Georgia Peach herself, Miss J. Miss J, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Hello, everyone. I am so glad to be back, and I miss you all, too. I know I missed a lot of great discussions. I had other commitments, but I'm so glad to be back again, and happy Friday.
We're glad that you're with us, and let's welcome the international. And Ms. J will come on and read the disclaimer shortly. Let's go ahead and welcome now the international man of the hour himself, Pastor Rowe. Pastor Rowe, is always a pleasure and honor. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you. I always feel a great welcome just to be a part of just a great family, and it's great to be on the show, and God bless everyone.
Thank you so very much for that. We're going to go ahead and we're going to look at this. This name is, I don't know why some of the names aren't coming up in the queue, but let's go ahead and we're going to call the first six numbers, and I'm certainly hoping that we can get this party in. I believe we're going to go to 770-212. Who do we have with us, and welcome?
Hi, good evening, everybody. It's Serena, a.k.a. the Empath Healer. So happy to be with you all.
Empath Healer, thank you for joining us this evening. We are so glad to have you with us and calling all the way from the Big Apple. Thank you so much for that. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead and get started. Pastor Roll, I want you to go ahead, before Ms. J. reads the disclaimer, invite the Lord into our presence with a brief prayer, if you would, please.
Eternal God, our Father, once again we come in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just bless your name, and we just thank you, Lord, for all you have done and all that you're doing now and for all that you'll do in the future. And, Lord, you've said in your word to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so as we share tonight about different topics and things, Lord, we just pray that you would be in the midst and continue to bless our leader that you've given us, Dr. Walker, and his followers that is with him, and just bless us all as we go forth this day. This prayer we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Ms. J, would you go ahead and give us that disclaimer, please? Thank you.
Okay. I'd like for everybody to take heed to the disclaimer tonight, because I know this is going to be a good topic. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and let us enjoy the program tonight.
Excellent. Thank you for that, Ms. A. We certainly do appreciate that. Pastor Roll, I want to begin with you by asking the question. Tonight's topic is, does God solve our problems even when we have free will? Even when we have free will, this is big. Now, this is very big. We got a lot to cover tonight, you all, so I got to go real fast. Pastor Roll, does he solve all of our problems? I mean, otherwise, why give us free will?
Well, that's very interesting. I feel that that he doesn't solve our problems, but he shows us how, you know, when we listen to that small voice, you know. But he gives us the ability to solve our problems, you know, as it says in Proverbs, wisdom, you know, and we have to seek after wisdom. We ask for wisdom, and God will bless us. And he'll speak to us how to solve our problems or whatever we're going through the powers of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us. My thoughts about that.
All right, Ms. J, I want to bring you in here. Ms. J, let's say you got 5 kids. You know, we're not putting all that on you, but just hypothetically speaking, you got 5 kids and you've trained them. And now, all of a sudden now, 3 of them are in their 20s, and they're still trying to ask you, Mom, how do you do this? How do you bake this cake, or how do you do that? You know, any of them. Mom, how do I go look for a job? You trained them. You sent them to the finest schools. Ms. A, aren't you kind of frustrated by now that I got to keep telling you all the same thing? Use your brain. Ms. A, help me with that, please.
Well, some things are not known to you to use your brain, but if it's just common sense type, you know, because like a recipe, it might not be known to you. But common sense things, you know, you should be able to do it. But a lot of us make the wrong decisions even in common sense things. But if we're not believers in God, because I know you say God will automatically do it, but you got to be a believer in God and not go out on your own understanding and try to make the decision. You know, and if you ask God for the wisdom and the guidance, he'll give it to you, but he'll let you make your own decision. You make the wrong decision, he'll stand by you, but it might not be the way you want it to be, but he'll go the right way for you.
All right. We're going to certainly ask this, Tamara. We got a live one here tonight. Does God solve our problems even when we have free will? Go ahead and welcome Sir Ben. Sir Ben, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Always a pleasure and honor to have you on board with us.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, and happy, fantastic, fervent Friday to you all.
Awesome, awesome. Sir Ben, while I've got you here, does God, solve your problems? I mean, it's like you're looking for this job, and we got a number of scenarios to cover tonight. You all, we got to go real fast. I mean, it's like I'm still going back to the one that I asked Ms. Jay on. If you got these kids and you're training them, you know, I'm thinking, stop coming to me with the same stuff. All right, use some common sense, like Ms. Jay said, use some common sense. Okay, no, you may not know how to bake a cake or this or that. I mean, I can't even cook in real life. But the fact of the matter is, but I still eat. I still eat. So, Sir Ben, the question becomes, do you keep having to, if the child is of same mind, do you have to keep reiterating to them to do the same thing over and over again? And now they're 27.
Absolutely. We should know that just from us living in this life and the way things are. Our children are direct image of who we are, and so therefore we have to sometimes look in the mirror at our own self and ask the question, did my mom have to do this to me? Some things are DNA and some things are just repetitively learned by watching our behavior. So a lot of times when we see our children doing the same things over and over and over again, the question becomes, who are they mimicking? And so when you answer that question, then you may have to make the adjustment in your own personal life so that your children can see the adjustment and they too can make the adjustment. No, God doesn't send us here to solve all our problems. He gave us a directive. It was a simple instruction. Train up a child. Train them. It didn't say when. It said train them up from young so so that when they get older. So we have been tasked with the duty of training our children. But God is still always training us too.
Amen.
We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead and welcome Dr. Patty Cakes. Dr. Patty Cakes, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure and honor to have you on board with us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
All right, excellent. Dr. Patty Cakes, does God solve, simply put, does he solve our problems? And if he does, why do we need free will? What do you think?
Wow, that's deep. Does he solve our problems? Somebody, didn't you explain this last week or something? I heard somebody could explain this, guiding us, I think, but not actually solving them. I think we still have, like, the free will portion. I mean, because he definitely gave us free will. I know that. But then I feel like with the whole predestination or whatever, I don't think he's, you know, choosing exactly what happens to us or solving them for us, but then he answers prayers. So, gosh, that's really, really confusing. I don't know.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Empath Healer, we're going to go to you right now. We're going to go to Empath Healer. And Empath Healer, I want to bring this in here. I mean, we got a number of scenarios, you all, that just won't stop coming in. So does God solve our problems? I mean, here it is, you know, you want to take a test. Have you ever taken a test and you're like, God, I'm praying on you for these answers. I've studied, and it just didn't work out the way you wanted it to work out.
Yeah, I mean, can you hear me?
Yes, we can now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So I believe that, like everybody, I believe that God guides us for sure, and he will put us in a position to have the tools that we need, but he does not act on our behalf or to remove a situation or a test or thing like that, because these situations, lessons, tests, and all that are a part of our story and a part of our growth. So I don't believe that God just solves our problems, just like I don't believe every problem that is created is because of the devil, right? Like, I think we have to take ownership and accountability. And if you didn't pass the test, maybe you have to study a little harder, or maybe you have to find a different way to study, right? And just continue to ask God for the strength to get through it. That's kind of my take on it.
Okay. We're certainly going to ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead and bring in the Demon Slayer, a.k.a. Pastor Lorenzo. Pastor Lorenzo, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's always a pleasure and honor to have you on board with us.
Thank you for having me tonight. Let's get rocking and rolling.
All right, excellent. We're going to bring in Pastor Lorenzo. While I've got you on here, I mean, here it is. If, you know, I'm just trying to figure out, if we got free will, you got free will. You know, a man is trying to decide between three women that he wants to marry, one of them. All of them are good women, you know, and it could be vice versa. And he's trying to decide. He's praying, he's like, God, this is really a problem. I want to marry one of them, but I can't decide. Do I pick number one, number two, or number three? And then, you know, does he flip a coin? What do you tell him, Pastor Lorenzo?
I'm trying to make a sound judgment decision. You know, you say God can, you go to God just for guidance and whatever you have inside of you. You're praying and all that stuff has a big thing to do with it. So what else do you want God to do? You want him to think for you and everything? So you got to make your own decision. He make everybody a body, a brain, a hands and feet and everything, and then you got to go through life and start making sound decisions about thinking and praising to the Lord, and I think everything else will work out. You know, you just got to take the time to make sound decisions.
All right, so now I feel like I think we're getting somewhere now, because I like what you're saying here, that he's giving us brain, the same thing what Ms. J was saying, common sense. We got to do something. We have to do something. Because it's like I had a conversation with a young man this week early on, and he said, I don't think God solves our problems. It's up to us. So we're going to put some of these scenarios out here in just a moment, but let's go to D in Georgia. D in Georgia, thank you for joining us this evening. D in Georgia, has God solved all of your problems?
No, and as you say, we have free will. I think we have free will where he wants us to make decisions based on lessons we have learned, because that's the only way we're going to grow is to.
Okay, so if that's the case,
learn from
in Georgia,
the mistakes we've made.
Okay, all right. So make decisions based on what we've learned. So I'm not judging her, but Elizabeth Taylor, I've heard, was married 7 or 8 times. So can I go through 7 or 8 marriages until I just get it right, or can a woman go through 7 or 8 marriages until she gets it right? Because I'm I learned from number 5 what not to do. I learned from number 6 what to do. So what do? Somebody help me with that. Come on, Dee from Georgia.
I'm not sure if somebody's learning from their lessons if they do it that many times. But then again, you know, it's all a test based on our following our spirit. You know, sometimes we make choices based on what we want. Sometimes we make them based on what we think we need. And sometimes we just have to say, Lord, let it be your will and listen to our spirit.
Amen.
And you have to be obedient to your spirit or you will be married 8, 9, or 10 times.
Okay, Miss D, I want to bring in here, Miss J. I mean, along the same lines, if I'm going to learn from my experience, okay, if she's getting on my nerves, I'm going to go to number 12. You know, if he's getting on her nerves, she's going to go to number 12. So what do we do? I mean, then the problem could be me, right?
You know, I agree. Sometimes we don't know. We'll make a decision thinking we're solving the problem, but we really don't know how. That's where you go to God for the guidance and the understanding. And he will at some times, it depends on the situation and how faithful you are and everything, solve your problems. And how he do it, I see how he do it, is through the Holy Spirit or through your visions and dreams and your thoughts. And he gets into your mind and soul and gets you to understand better what you need to do. He assists, he helps. And he works with you. It's a helping, not solving. And the help he gives you, it helps you to solve it after you get a better understanding.
Okay, are we going
to
ask somebody?
Solve it, and you don't have to work to solve it, you know.
Okay, so, Sir Benny, I want to bring you in here and ask questions. I mean, why can't I just kind of like do like some of the animals do? They just kind of really just multiply. They, you know, they procreate out here, and then they just eat food. And they're territorial. So why I have to kind of, he already knows what I need. And he says, I've given you everything, you know, even the leaves for the healing of the nation. So why am I struggling to be so successful and have 5 cars and live in 3 different houses, which I can only sleep in 1 bed at a time? Sir Ben, help me with that.
Well, the question is, what's the problem? You have free will. You're a free moral agent. You can make your own decisions. Just because we don't have to like it or we don't have to agree with it or our culture says that's not correct or our mindset can be totally different, how do we know that's okay for you? That is your journey, your path. I can't decide that for you. Only you can. I respect a man that makes a bunch of choices in his own way than a man who follows somebody else's choices and still gets up with the same results. We have to be deliberate about our choices, whether we like them or not, or other people do or don't. That's not my concern. My concern is if you're not hurting God, you're not hurting anybody else, and you're not hurting yourself, who am I to say what's right and wrong? You have a personal relationship with God. It's estranged from your wife, your children, your family, your cousin, anybody and everybody. It is your personal walk, which means it's you and God. It doesn't matter who's on the journey with you. It is still your personal desires. Look, Adam and Eve was in the garden. You think God didn't see what was going on? He didn't intervene on their behalf. He gave them a choice, and they made a choice. Now, he had to make a choice after they made a choice, but he didn't never come and say, you made the wrong choice. He already had told them that. So it's in your own thoughts and your own minds about your choices. It is your choice.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand. We got a live one here tonight, you all, and we haven't even gotten to some of the scenarios that are here. So let me go up here. Darren Deedy, I want to bring you in here. Darren Deedy, so I'm still stuck on this here. Does God solve our problems even when we have free will, free choice? So if in the Bible it talks about David having, you know, a few wives and Solomon having a few wives. So, Darren Deedy, I mean, can you have like 3 or 4 husbands or wives? And I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says the woman had several husbands, but I see in there where the men had a lot of wives. So that was their free choice? And I didn't see God saying, well, because you got this extra two wives, I'm going to do this to you. So, Darren, did you help me with that one?
What are you asking me? If God,
well, I'm asking you the choice. Was God judging those men for having those extra wives and concubines?
I don't think so. Again, he gives us free choice, freedom to do what we want. But I do think he requires him to be your centered thought.
Oh, okay, and what are those, like central thoughts or central thoughts, those?
Yeah, if you think you're listening to, I'm quite sure God thinks he is, you know, communicating with you, and if you're actually following the Holy Spirit, something that you, a movement in your soul of some sort, but I don't think he's going to look or crucify you for being married five times, if that's how many times you should be married. I think he seeks for your heart, not so much the free will, because he does forgive us for all our past sins and future sins as well. So just keeping him centered thought.
So, Darren, are you telling me I can do whatever I want to do and I'm just forgiven? Is that what I'm hearing you say? So why do I have to be good?
I think we're all good, but sometimes we make bad decisions. I'm not, you know, justifying anybody that does, you know, capital murder or anything like that. But we make mistakes, and that's how we learn, by our mistakes. And what you did, you messed up on one time, you're going to ace it the next time. So
you think so?
I believe he – I do. I really do. We learn by our mistakes. You should know that.
So if I'm on marriage number five, I just got to keep going until I get it right?
Unfortunately, some do have to get married that many times, but it's unfortunate that one has not found themselves first before attaching themselves to another person. So that's a whole another topic.
All right, we're going
to
certainly ask you to stand by. Let's, some of these, yes, Ms. Jay, let's bring you in here. Go ahead, Ms. Jay.
Just quickly, you talking about David. Okay, who is the God? God did not condemn David for having no wives, right? So that wasn't a problem. So who is to say that that was a problem? God is to say, Dave, that's a problem. You got to get rid of something. Why, Daddy? I don't know. Daddy? And then we make a lot of bad
decisions.
I never
saw that.
But who's to say that's a problem for us? That might be good for us, even though it's bad decisions. People sell drugs. That's a bad decision. But they be living good.
All right.
You know.
We got a live one tonight. Does God solve our problems? And so now we look at even Solomon with 700 wives and 300 concubines. I mean, I didn't even see anywhere in the Bible where he chastised Solomon, whom he made the wisest man ever in the past, present, or the future. And he said there will never be another man as wise as Solomon. And so, I mean, it was like, it was deep. But we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's take some of these scenarios. Let's go with Dr. Patty Cakes. Dr. Patty Cakes, I want to give you this first scenario here that we're going to go to. The woman prayed for 3 years for a husband, but it turned out he was abusive. Was her problem solved through her prayers? You know, that this was her plight or her cross she had to bear in life?
She prayed for 3 years for a husband and then he was abusive?
Yeah, the man she got was abusive. And all of these scenarios are inspired by true events that happened. So, I mean, you know, she paid. Is it the fact that she made this choice to get that man?
I would say that she made the choice to be with him. I don't think that that's like her cross to bear. I think that, you know, as soon as she found out he was abusive, if God brought her to that circumstance, that she could immediately get out of it by choice, even though it's tricky, obviously, because sometimes abusive is like you win, but I don't think it's her cross to bear.
All right, we're going to actually stand by. Pastor Roll, I want to bring you in here with the same scenario, but we're going to extend it a little bit. Now the woman's religion does not believe in divorce as long as he hasn't, you know, committed adultery on her, but he's mentally and physically abusive. So they come to you for counsel. She comes to you for counsel. and she's got this big knot upside her head, like, you know. And so, you know, and she's trying to just hang in here because he's never cheated on her till death do you part. So what do you tell her, Pastor Rowe?
Well, you know, you have to make your own choices and decisions, you know. And I'll just say, you know, as scriptures say, you know, you just gotta trust in the Lord, you know, with all your heart. And people have to make their own decisions, you know. You could just kind of talk to them and just, you know, and you know, the word of God will you know, find you where you are and bring you where you ought to be, you know.
All right.
They got to make their own choice.
All right. So, Pastor Rowe, now we're going to take it a little further. Now, that's what you told her. You got to make your own. The Lord will see you through and so forth and so on, which sometimes ministers do. So now, Pastor Rowe, mm-hmm. let's take it a little deeper, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden now, it's your daughter
mm-hmm.
that she got this big old knot upside her head. Now, Pastor
mm-hmm.
Rowe, she's coming, Daddy, I didn't want to tell you, but you see the knot. Now, Pastor Rowe, do you tell her that we're going to pray about this and the Lord will see you through? Just asking, Pastor
no.
Rowe.
No. Yeah, I'm just going to tell you straight up. You know, I will tell my daughter, say, honey, you got to get out of this relationship. And then if somebody touch my daughter like that, I'm going to do exactly the right thing. We're going to report it to the scriptures say, you know, if you got also against your brother, you go to him and him alone. If you don't hear, you go get somebody else. And then, you know the steps to that, you know. But she's got to make her own decision. I just let her, we wrap my arms around, let her, you know, honey, you can stay here with us.
So, Pastor Rowe, honestly, you're telling me that if it's your
uh-huh.
daughter and you're just going to see her, the Lord's going to see her through. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Pastor Rowe, me as a man, don't touch my girls. And it's like, that's just criminal. That's just totally criminal. So we're going to ask you to stand by. Demon Slayer, let's go to you, Pastor Lorenzo here. Now it's your daughter, Pastor Lorenzo. Do you, you know, you're going to pray that God will solve her problem? You know, and we can't use certain language over the air, but go ahead, Pastor Lorenzo, because now it hits home.
I'm going to pray to God that I won't put my foot in his zone.
I know.
But, like I said, my emotion is going to take off. I love my daughter dearly, man. It's a whole other level I take it to when you miss my daughters, man. So you can't really look at things as if another person did it or if one of your children did it, because you look at it different, you know. So I just try to pray to God that I don't try to throw them off a building or nothing.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to actually stand by. Sir Ben, let me bring you in here. Sir Ben, Sir Ben, let's just say we'll take it to even a different level, Ben, Sir Ben, and this is all hypothetical. Let's say, Sir Ben, it's your dad. Your mom comes now with this big knot, Sir Ben. And, you know, Mom, what happened? Well, your dad and I had an argument. Now, Sir Ben, are you praying that God solves the problem? This is your biological father, Sir Ben.
First of all, let me make sure I understand something clearly. When you get to a certain age, it is no longer about your position as a son, daughter, mother, father. You are now in the adult arena, which means that you have to make adult decisions, which means that your intervention of some things is not supposed to be done out of disrespect. The word tells us, honor your mother and your father that your days may be longer. How you decide to do that is in accordance to how you were raised. So I may not like something, and I'm a famous honestly. I had a conversation with my daughter one time, and it was clear as it is. I said, sweetheart, don't go out there and put yourself in a position with a boy that you're going to be fighting and arguing, that you're going to bring me into that situation, put me in jeopardy of having to go to jail, which means I'm going to be taken away from my family, I'm going to be taken away from my wife, I'm going to have to sit there in jail, it's going to cause us financial difficulties, it's going to cause a strain on the family because you made a bad decision. So I'm going back to my first question. If you raise a child and you let them understand from the beginning early about the consequences that's going to happen as a result of their decision, then you don't have to deal with those decisions. So do I want to have to be put in that position? No. I am liable as a parent to say to my child, don't put me in that position.
Hope they listen, right?
Well, listen, if you present it correctly, they will listen because they understand the magnitude of what it means to lose somebody now because they can see the picture. We don't paint a clear picture. We let it go. It's like someone was making a comment the other day. Well, I won't let my child do anything he wants to do. Okay, would you let your 5-year-old child just run across the street by themselves? No. You have to give them a picture of the danger of what can happen if you do that. And you keep reinforcing that over and over and over until you know that they got it. And even when you know they got it, sometimes you still got a reminder. That's what forgiveness is for us with God. It's a constant reminder of us over and over and over. Because how many times have most of us been in a situation where we know we should have been dead and we wasn't because it was by some grace and mercy that saved our lives and it hasn't happened just one time, it's happened hundreds of times. How many times were we in a situation where we should have been involved in some type of baby or whatever, a situation, and it didn't happen for whatever reason? God saved us in that. So it is a consistent over and over and over again. He does that to us. He say the wages of sin is death. All of us should be dead because we all sin every day, but he keeps giving us over and over and over and over chances.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by, Sir Ben. I want to go to Miss J. Miss J., we're going to send this scenario right to you now. Miss J., hypothetically speaking, and, you know, if your own father has been abusive to your mom, you know, and one day she comes to your house and she's crying, Miss J., that's your dad. You love him desperately. Well, I wasn't crazy about my father, but Miss J., you love your dad, but now he's abusive. You know he's been beating your mom. Miss J., I mean, what do you do? Do you just pray and hope that God solves the problems, Miss Jay?
No. For me, you know, what I personally would do, because I'm grown now. So, you know, me and my dad, we're going to have an eye-to-eye talk about what's going on. And if he still feel he just got a hit on my mom and do all this, I'm going to let him know. You know, if you do it again, that's going to be it. You know, either you're going to be gone, or you're going to be locked up, or something's going to happen, or you will not continue that. I can stand up for my mom then, and I would not want her to remain in a relationship like that. So
if it is your father, right?
It's my father. I don't care who it is. You don't abuse nobody, and you definitely don't abuse my mother. That's a man abusing a woman.
Supposed to
be a stronger man, person towards the weak. No way.
So,
but, you know, even if he was abusing my grandfather or another man, there'd be no abuse going on, you know.
Okay.
That
all right, we're
going to
certainly ask you. We got a number of scenarios in here. We still got a lot to cover you all. We're halfway. We got a lot to cover. Demon Slayer, I want to bring you in here now. Here's another scenario. A man looking desperately for a job. The question is, does God solve our problems? He's desperately looking for a job and prayed, but still did not land a job for 3 months. Is it his fault that his prayers were not answered, or were they?
Just got to keep trying. You got to keep on using your resources. You can't stop. You can't quit. You got to ask God for guidance. You got to get up early in the morning like the worm, like the bird catches the worm. So, you can't never give up, man. You're a grown man. You got to keep on going. I don't care what happened to you. Just keep on getting up. It's going to answer your prayer. Just keep on using your resources and internet, stuff like that, social media, the Indeed, the Job.com, and all that. He's going to answer. He's going to be there. Just trust in yourself and believe in yourself.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Empath Healer, I want to bring you in here, Empath Healer, and ask you that same along the same lines. I mean, do you have to keep grinding out there at the mill to try to find it, you know? And is it that God is giving you the strength, the energy, and the mindset to be able to go out there and do it? Isn't that him solving your problem or helping you with it, as Ms. Jay said earlier? Isn't that it?
I think that can you hear me okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that, you know, when we're praying to God for something or asking for something, if it takes, let's say, like 3 months for him to get this, for somebody to get the job, instead of looking at, oh, well, I don't have the job, God's not answering my prayers, if we refocus and say, well, the job hasn't come yet,
in what way today is God answering my prayers? Is he using this time to prepare me for the job that I'm going to need, and that job takes 3 months worth of preparation, whether that's mental, physical, whatever the focus is. So when we are so attached to an outcome, sometimes we miss the blessings of every day waiting for the big, like, oh, here it is, whereas God's blessing us every day. So he's not solving our problems, but he is definitely walking with us when you have a spiritual journey. So I think it's just a mindset of being open, really truly being open and appreciating each day and each blessing or lesson that comes along with that, so you can be prepared for what it is you're praying for.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Dr. Pattycakes, I want to bring you in here. Dr. Pattycakes, here's the scenario. The football team prayed in the locker room for a victory, and they lost by 5 touchdowns. They lost. That's an embarrassing loss. Come to find out, the other team also prayed. So did one team receive favor over the other? Or did the victorious team have more talent? Talk to me, Dr. Pattycakes.
Well, oh, my goodness. I mean, I hate to say it, but I think that they had more talent, right? I mean,
okay.
I mean, I know God works in mysterious ways, right?
He
I mean,
does.
You can't just, like, put years of talent and practice into certain players to have that level of, you know, accomplishment to crush the other team. That is embarrassing.
Okay, so okay, Dr. Pattycakes, stay with me for a moment, because see, here we go now. See, we're looking at this here as the other team having more talent, and that's a very good point. But now remember David, the little shepherd boy. He went up against Goliath. And when all those people saw David, this little shepherd boy, going up against Goliath, even Goliath mocked him, and the people laughed, right? So then it's like, and you said at the beginning, God works in mysterious ways. So now all of a sudden he takes his little sling and puts a pebble in it, and the power of God was connected to that, and he slew Goliath and became king. So did God solve his problem, David's problem? Of Goliath, when the other team prayed, did one team get favor? How do you answer that, Dr. Pattycakes?
I mean, I think sometimes the team can have favor. I think with, like, David and Goliath, it's such, like, a unique example because it was just a hallmark experience that changed the course of humanity's, like, way of thinking and like, rethinking, like, the hero and the way things look and they appear and God's power and all of that. But I mean, certainly they can have favor. I mean, look, people that win the lottery and stuff like that, but it's like it's so interesting because then there's deserving good people and they're not poor or whatever or having misfortune because they don't have God's favor. So that's very interesting.
This is very interesting. We're going to. Go ahead, say it again.
So I said, I see what you're doing here. Like you always say, you're making us think. These are hard questions.
I'm sorry. It's just coming into my spirit. We got to go ahead and bring in Marjorie Cross. Ms. Marjorie Cross, thank you for your patience, Ms. Cross. We're going to take a commercial break with our sponsor now, Ms. Cross. All right, perhaps she's not there. We're going to go ahead on with the continue with the show. Let's go ahead now and bring in Pastor Roll. I want to bring you in here now with this other scenario. We got a lot to cover you all, and I'm trying to go as fast as I can. This is only part one. All right, Pastor Roll, here's another scenario here. The man waited on the rooftop above his flooded house, waiting for God to answer his prayer for help. Come to find out, he missed out on 3 rescue units that came back. Is it God's fault? But had God already answered his problem or resolved his issue before he even asked? Pastor Roe, talk to me, please.
Well, you know, I just feel that God answered him, you know. Sometimes God can just send a log, you know, that can float and you could grab hold of it, you know. Then he could send a little bigger ship, you know, and you waiting for the big ship to come by and God has sent a little small, something insignificant that could have saved you. So you made the wrong choice. You know, God is there to help you when you have needs and so on and so forth. But you gotta see that what he's giving you is the right thing.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. D from Georgia, I want to bring you back in here. D from Georgia, I mean, by now, does God? What are you thinking, D from Georgia? Does God solve your problems, or is it up to you? I mean, what's the bottom line here?
I think, again, by what we've learned in our life, by the things we went through, that he does give us the strength and the when we pray and ask for it, ask for his will be done, he gives us what we need to go through what we're going through. So he does, in his way, in his time, provide us what we need to do what it is we were praying for. Again, you know, ask, you say, receive. He's not a God to lie. So it may not be him doing it, but he's giving you what you need to get through it.
Wow. Okay, so Dee from Georgia, I got to ask you this question because I'm stuck here trying to figure this out. So if I've had five failed marriages because they got on my nerves. So then it's like, God, I'm praying for you because I'm going to keep trying until I get it right. And then all of a sudden now you're older and you can't even perform right. I mean, help me out with that, Dee from Georgia.
Again, you've got to be obedient to your spirit. You've got to learn to recognize your spirit, which is stronger than you are. And a lot of times we're in the way by making the choices we make, by doing what we're doing or trying to do it on our own. So, you know, sometimes we just have to be still and listen.
Wow, that's
interesting.
You know what one of the – I'm sorry, go ahead.
That was it, and recognize and be obedient.
All right, let me bring Miss J in. Miss J, I want to bring you in here. Miss J, I get a lot of calls as a therapist from young couples now. And you know what they're asking me after 3 years of marriage? Dr. Walker, you think marriage should come with an expiration date? Because this man getting on my nerves. Miss J, how do you respond to that? I mean, is that for God to resolve their problems? Or somebody say you ignored the red flags? I mean, really, everybody got some kind of red flags or drama that they bring into a relationship. So how do you answer that if they came to you, Ms. J? Should it come with an expiration date?
I would answer by, if you're not ready for marriage and if you don't know that's the man for you and you're looking for out at some point, you don't need to get married because marriage do not come with an expiration date.
But they're already married, Ms. J, and after 3 years they're coming, I'm getting these calls, and Dr. Walker, can you talk to my husband? I've only been married 6 months. And I'm like, what's going on? Well, you know, he thinks he's in his grandparents' stage of life that I need to obey him. And it's like, oh, wow. Ms. J, so what do you say?
You know with me, Dr. Walker, you know me. I'm a true believer in, why would you marry somebody them flags were about to choke you when y'all was dating? You know me with that. I don't believe, you know, if you see these things, why are you going to do it? So, you know, people don't take marriage serious. That's just me. I don't have no excuse from, because I would tell them, sound like to me, you shouldn't have got married in the first place. I mean, I'm going to be up front. What did you see in him in the beginning? You know, didn't you see that then? People don't change.
He was cute, Miss J. You know how it is. He's cute. He makes some good babies, good-looking babies. Come on, Miss J.
Puppies are cute. If you want to marry something long-lasting, what a marriage is supposed to do that, you don't go for a short-term situation. If you want short-term, just date him. Just live with him, whatever you want to do. But to marry,
right, with her,
you know, no.
We're going to ask you to stand by. Demon Slayer, I want to bring you back in here. Demon Slayer, what do you say? I mean, we got a lot to cover here tonight. Demon Slayer, what do you say to a situation like that? Do you just, you saw the red flags, but you were in love. Who can turn away from love? It is said that love is the strongest force in the universe. What do you say?
I think Ms. J is on point tonight. I think what people do is they put one face on before marriage, and then when they get married, you turn into the demon that you are, that you was hiding, the snakes in the grass. So to go for somebody that you want to marry that are nice and cute and, oh, baby, and all this, and then you go to the one just slapping up your wife, you already had that demon in you from the start.
We're going to certainly ask this time, but we got a lot to cover. Let's see if we can get Ms. Cross back on here tonight. Ms. Cross, are you with us?
Yes, Dr. Walker, I'm here.
Okay, good, Ms. Cross. Ms. Cross, do you think God solves all of our problems? Does he solve any of our problems or all of our problems? Really?
Yes, I think he does. He solves the problems that he wants to solve for us. But God help those who help themselves. So he will solve some of the problems, and we got to solve some for ourselves. That's
okay, so Ms. Cross, while I've got you there, you said, and I've heard that, and that's not scripture, that God helps those who help themselves. But we think it's scripture because I know that when my mother and my grandmother wanted me to do things, they made it sound like it was coming from the word of God. But it wasn't. It was their stuff that they had heard that was passed down to them, like cleanliness is next to godliness, son. So it means you got to clean your room because God wants you to clean the room. But that's not even in the Bible. So, Ms. Cross, correct. Are we saying to people, do things because this is what God wants you to do? How do you know what really God wants you to do? You know, I mean, do you really know what he wants you to do, or do we justify it? We got an upcoming show on that very thing right there. So, Ms. Cross, does he solve our problems? I mean, or do we use manipulation, you know, and I love my grandmother and my mother. Of course, they got me to clean my room. But it was like, do other people, even ministers, they go out here and they preach when they want to raise the, they want to get more money in the church for whatever reason. They can preach a sermon that can make you feel so guilty, like you about to put your house up, you know, to put the money in the church. So talk to me about that.
Oh, dear. I don't know. I know that they have a saying also that faith without work is dead. So if you ask God for something, you can't just sit down and just wait, and you got to work towards it also. You know, so that's the way I feel. You know, he will help you, but I think you have to help yourself also. That's the way I feel.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Sir Ben, I want to bring you back in here. We're running out of time now, you all. I got to go real fast. Sir Ben, I want to ask you this question because now does God solve our problem? So now the board, the church board has met, and they say we need to raise $15,000 for the pastor's farewell party. Okay, $15,000 because we want to send him and his wife on this fabulous 14-day cruise to Alaska, $15,000. So now one of the eloquent elders of the church gets up and speaks, and he brings that message on Malachi 3:8. You know, and he's got these people say, I know that some of you all are in here, that you can pledge $1,000 right now. Give us your platinum credit card information. Because you know what? You can't take it with you. I've never seen a hearse following a Brinks truck following behind a hearse. So, Sir Ben, what do you say to that? Now people are feeling so bad, like it's bad to have money. Sir Ben, talk to me, please.
First of all, we have our own mind and our own way of looking at life and doing things. And if you're letting somebody produce that kind of slave mentality bondage on you, that's your fault. You don't have to go along with that just because somebody says to do something. You can say, no, I don't want to do that, and be okay with it. And if you feel some kind of way, you go in prayer, you ask God, God, help me have wisdom about this foolishness that they're trying to get me to do. And if God gives you the wisdom to say, no, walk away from that. That's not of me. That's of man. So let me answer in 10 seconds the question you said. You want to know how you know if God is telling you to do something? When you pray for something, you wait, because there's three parts of us that we get. We got the spirit of God, we got the soul of his, and then we got our own way of looking at how we do things. If you wait patiently, God himself, the Holy Spirit, will show you the results of your prayer. And if most of us don't wait long enough to get the results, but he will show us, and then you'll know who's talking to it. Because a lot of times we are just creating thoughts in our own mind about what we think and what we want to do, and they're not from God. It's just our own way of thinking. That's why it says lean not to your own way of thinking. So we have to wait for God to give us the answer, and he will. And when he gives us the answer, it'll be perfect. Last thing, God does all right. Solve all our problems. I'm going to tell you why. How many times have you been in a situation where you knew you shouldn't have been there, or you knew you shouldn't have passed that test, or you knew you shouldn't have got that job, or you knew you shouldn't have got past that health situation, or your wife was pregnant with a very dangerous situation and the baby, and it came out perfect anyway? That's how you know God solves your problems, because when you ask him, he responds.
Amen.
That's interesting. All right, we're going to actually stand by. Pastor Roll, I'm going to bring you in here. Pastor Roll, because now we're looking at this year that – does God really solve our problems? Then what's the purpose of us having free will to decide? So that means anytime, if that's the case, you know, and I heard Sir Ben say, you got to wait. So now, Pastor Roll, I'm going to give you another scenario here. The woman's been in her 23 years of marriage. The husband has cheated and had five other kids outside of marriage, during their marriage. And so she's still praying for an answer. So Pastor Roe, she's waiting and praying. She said one day, and her family members are telling her, what are you waiting for? You know, well, you know, we got to forgive 70 times 70, you know, and that means get into the habit of forgiveness. So, Pastor Rowe, what do? With the woman, she comes to you again for counsel. So her husband's got 5 different babies out there.
Well, you know, everybody has to make their own decisions, you know, and I'm not going to make, you know, decisions for her, you know, and because she got to make her own decisions, you know. I know what I would do in a situation like that, you know, because I haven't always been super, super spiritual, you know. But I'll just say she has to make her own decisions, and I just tell her, you know, just listen to that still small voice that speaks to you, and wherever that voice speaks to you, then you go ahead and make your own choice and decision. But I wouldn't encourage her to stay in an abusive relationship like that, a manipulative relationship, or sexual relationships that's kind of against marriage vows. So that's all I got to say about that, Dr. Walker.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We've got, we're almost out of time. We are really almost out of time. Missy, I want to bring you in here. Missy, I'm looking at this scenario here now. This is really, really, this is deep. After praying for several months, a young woman took her med school exams, and she failed it 3 times. Could it have anything to do with her faith or the lack of faith because she counted on God to solve her problems? What do you think, Missy?
You know, that's a good one there. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's how you do it, how you study, how you go about doing this, what's all involved in you trying to prepare to pass this exam. All I can say, you just can do all you can do and pray on it. And if it's to be, it's to be. I mean, everything's not going to happen just because you want it to happen.
All right.
I like to say on that one.
Thank you, Ms. J. Thank
because
you, Dr. Pancake.
I was president, but I don't think I ever get there, you know.
Right.
But, you know, I'm just saying. But you got to work towards and work hard, but it still might not happen. And
all
God
right.
can't start it for you, not really, if it's not meant to be.
But wait a minute. We've heard on the air tonight that people are saying God solves all of our problems.
I didn't. I say it solves some problems. Sometimes it might not be the way you want it solved, but it'll be solved
right.
in a way. But it might not be your way.
All right.
He's a solver now. He's a solver.
All right. Exactly. Exactly. So we're going to ask you to stand by. Dr. Patty Cakes, I want to bring you in here. Dr. Patty Cakes, life becomes so difficult sometimes that we can't even solve a problem from one day to the next. Because sometimes the questions become so deep, we can't even answer the questions. Dr. Patty Cakes, what do you think about that? Do we call on God to solve this equation for us or the problem for us or to fix things? Or are we supposed to just, you know, figure it out for ourselves?
Let it go.
Well, that's how I feel tonight, because you keep asking me these questions, and I'm like, I don't even know. But that's how I feel all the time. I mean, I pray that he'll just fix things for me, you know, and just like sometimes, you know, because trying to figure it out sometimes backfires, and then it causes
yeah.
more stress. And I just, well, that's what, I, literally, you'll hear me say 20,000 times a day, Jesus, take the wheel, because I'm like, I can't, because these kids are driving me nuts, truthfully. So.
I know it gets that way. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Who wants to volunteer and close us out tonight? I'm just going to look for a volunteer, because this is kind of deep tonight. Anybody want to volunteer to close us out in about 4 minutes? All right, we have no. Okay. All right.
No one. I mean,
okay.
I can't.
No one's volunteering to close this out tonight. All right. Let's go to another scenario. Empath healer. I want to bring you in here, empath healer. Here's another question. All right. When you pray, do you always get what you want? Empath healer. Why or why not?
I definitely think just because you're praying for something or asking for something, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get what you want, because sometimes what you want may not be what you need, and it may not be what's best for you. And so you may be asking for something from a carnal space, but God sees further than that. God sees from spiritual space. And so you can ask all you want, but when it don't come, it doesn't show up, it may just not be for you. Or it could just not be for you right now. So I think having a spirit of patience is very, very key. Patience and being grateful for what you have opens doors to get, you know, to get what is supposed to be for you. But I definitely believe that what's for you will never miss you. So if it's not coming to you, it's either one, not yours, or not your time.
All right. Okay. Empath Healer, I gotta stay with you just for a second, because now the question becomes, do we justify what we think God's meaning behind something that we either didn't get it or we didn't pass it? And so, you know how people come along and they say, well, it wasn't God's will for your life to pass this. It wasn't God's will for you to have that husband. It wasn't God's will for you to have this child. It wasn't God's will for you to have this. How is it that people know what's good that God has said for your life? Help me with that, Empath Healer.
Yeah, I definitely think people, as humans, I think our brains, we will rationalize some things or justify some things if we cannot figure out the answer, or we just so badly want something and that's just the answer we're going to give to make ourselves feel better.
Yes.
So I definitely think we as humans absolutely justify, you know, what God's will is, what's in it or not. And sometimes it really just boils down to you might just be looking in the wrong path, or you on the wrong, whatever the case may be, and you need to just take a look in the mirror and stop trying to ask God to do so much and really be like, what am I doing or not doing? Just like that child, like your parents are there for you all your life, but they're not sitting here holding your hand at the job or at the interview. Like, you got to step up and do a little something too. So I definitely think we can justify things as humans, but yeah.
Exactly, exactly. Darren Dede, I want to bring you in here real quickly here, this question here. Do we have to constantly pray for our needs and our wants to be fulfilled? Or does God just, hey, child, go get it. Keep working at it, okay? Or try something else. Talk to me, Darren Dede, please.
Well, I think he always answers our prayers. He always provides us for what we need. That's for sure. But he doesn't always answer our prayers, because what we really want may not be good for us, and he knows that. So,
we didn't get it?
Pardon me?
Is that another justification that we're justifying God because we didn't get it?
Correct. Yes. It just
okay.
wasn't our
All right.
calling.
We're gonna ask
or we may not get it today, but next year.
All right. We're going to actually stand by. Dee from Georgia, I'm going to bring you in here real quick. Dee from Georgia, we're almost out of time. We didn't get a volunteer to close us out tonight. So Dee from Georgia.
What you call it?
I'm sorry?
Oh, I just want to end with a little Bible verse. I mean, a little scripture. That's all.
You want to close us out with one?
One little scripture. That's all I want
okay.
to say.
Okay. We'll come back to you to close us out. We're not going to get through all of this tonight anyway, you all. And we'll be back here in a few weeks to close this one out. Ms. J will close it out shortly. But before we get to Ms. J, let me go to, I just called on someone, Dee from Georgia, quickly here. A woman married a man. Well, let's go to this wheel. When and why does God give us the desires of our heart? Does he give us the desires of our heart? Quickly, Dee from Georgia.
Again, that comes in where it's his will or not. And as a couple of people said, that when certain things that you desire, in the event that you're waiting on that to happen, it's possible something else could happen that would change your mind. Your desires change. Your desires
okay,
change.
Okay, but the thing is, he says he will grant you the desires of your heart, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's in his will. Because you didn't ask for it to be in his will. Remember the human part of Jesus on the cross. He said to his father, you know, if it be thy will, take this cup from me, the cup of death. He didn't want to die. That was the human part of him speaking. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So should it be that we're asking God not our wills, but his will be done? Dee from Georgia.
Yes, we should be asking His will be done, but that's what I mean. When we ask and expect to get what we want because we ask, when it doesn't happen when we want it to, but in His timing, it's possible that we would change our mind about what we want, and then that is a closer to His will.
So
and
is
like
that,
I say,
that the desire of our heart to change our minds? I'm mixed up now. We're going to actually stand by. We're out of time, you all. We're clearly out of time, and they're threatening me over here to get off the air. So, Ms. J, let's go ahead and close out. Does God solve our problem? This is only part one, even when we have free will or free choice. Ms. J, close us out, please. And then we'll finish
this
one up.
All right, this is all I want to say. Okay, God never fails the one who puts their trust in Him, even though His answer or His resolution is not always immediate. Sometimes God teaches us patience while He's working out something in our lives. And 2 Corinthians 5:7, difficult to trust God during uncertain times, but as believers, we know that His ways are not our ways, and He will ultimately work all things for good. So we
that
start with God and we end with God.
That's right. We start with God and we end with God. And you don't want to miss part two of this, you all. This is a deep one. Does God solve our problems, even when we have free will or free choice? You don't want to miss part two of this one. It won't be next week, but it's forthcoming. And you don't want to miss this one. I want you all to think about this one here tonight. Does He solve our problems? Does He solve, or has He already given us everything, even the healing of the nations, and it's up to us to do it? Because think about it, as children, as parents even, if we did everything for our children, wouldn't we be enabling them? Wouldn't we be enabling them so that, like Sir Ben said earlier, when we train them up the way that they should go, they will not depart? That's also a spiritual inclination there that's attached with that. But if you train them in the other areas, they will do fine. They will do fine. So, but the fact of the matter is, you don't want to enable them. You don't want to. So I believe that God does not enable us. When we can do it for ourselves, He will just guide and direct, and you all have said all of that over the air tonight. In solving our problems, He gives us the mindset to do it. So think about that, you all. I got to get off the air. Listen, I want to thank all of you all for joining us tonight. Please join us back here next Thursday for the Dr. S. Walker Show. If you choose to bypass next Thursday, we'll be back here next Friday. You don't want to miss next Friday's topic. I can tell you that right now, because we're going to talk about Our Father prayers. The part about, does God lead, did He lead Adam and Eve into temptation? Because Jesus, when the disciples asked Him, teach us to pray, He said, our Father who art in heaven. And He went on to say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So does that suggest, infer, or imply that God would lead us that way? You don't want to miss next week's topic, because we're going to talk about the Garden of Eden. That tree being planted in the center of the garden. You don't want to miss next week's topic. Listen, until next Thursday, until next Friday, and we're going to show you how powerful God is. You don't want to miss it next week. Listen, until next Thursday or until next Friday, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Dr. Rizzo. Good night.
God bless.
Good night, Marjorie and Brother Lorenzo.
And good night,
Pastor
Rose.
Good night,
Ms. Jade.
God bless you all.
And Ms. Jade, that was a good closing.
Amen.
Amen.
Keep safe and keep well, everyone. Bye.
All right. God bless you all.
Bless you, Pastor Rose.